Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello, hello.
Hey, ma'am.
Are we live? Is it, here we are on Truth Meets. It's Saturday night. Well, might be Sunday early morning for you. November 8th, 2025. I'm here with Susie. I'm Beachy. Let's talk.
I know. So, hey, I'm just looking through my notebook. We drove from Ohio to New Orleans in February of 2021. And I'm looking at my notebook now. Can you hear me okay? I'm kind of like far away.
I can hear you.
Okay, so my food. My food, I didn't eat anything because I brought my own food. $2.50, $4, $4, $3, $2, $5, $20, and $10. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 8 days, all of my $49.50.
You kept a journal on your food intake for how many days?
Yeah. 8 days. Well, just for 8 days. Then we went somewhere and, man, I drank a bunch. But I am a cheap date. So I'm all about hush puppies and coleslaw. Hush puppies and coleslaw and all the way down. Because,
And how much booze?
No, I brought... So you buy a bottle of booze and you drink it in the car. I don't need to buy booze at the, like, I try to be the cheapest date possible. I don't get drinks at restaurants. Yeah, I don't get drinks at restaurants. I'm that dirty weirdo who puts vodka in carrot juice. That's from Rick and Rollo this morning.
is that Rollo's health advice to put carrot juice in your vodka? Yeah.
I'm not sure. I woke up. I mean, if I have to listen to Rick and Rollo, it's like 4:30 in the morning for me. So I just heard something about vodka and carrot juice.
I miss all that because I'm asleep during that time, but I wish I could wake up. I always say to myself, oh, I should wake up early and go see if I can jump in those chats, but it never happens. I mean, I'm not an early person either, so it's like, it's the last thing I want to do when I wake up is start talking. So
yeah, no, for me, I'm an early bird. Like I like waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, well, especially during the summer, I have to. I have no choice because that's my quote job. Yeah, I'm not earning money, but I gotta get up. I gotta get up. Whether you like it, and I always tell myself, well, I can always take a nap later, which I almost never do.
Okay, so
just calling yourself, oh, I can always take a nap later.
I'm just, like I said, I'm just not a morning person. But anyway, so let's get back to our topic here. You brought your journal. So
yeah,
you've
so
got,
I'm looking at it now.
Got some notes that you want to share?
Yeah, I do. I have some from when we went on our trip, but that's more depressing because blah, blah, blah. So this is Saturday, 5/15/21. And, you know, listening back, all the crazy shit didn't really start happening until 2021.
Yeah.
In March 2020, you know, yeah, they did. They shut down restaurants. I'm not saying it wasn't crazy. 2021 was berserk. It was full on. To me, it was in 2020, I remember Wayne's brother, we were going to his birthday in March, and they shut down the restaurants. Well, you could still go there. No, wait. They shut down the schools. They closed schools. The restaurants were still open, and he got really scared. He's like, oh, this is real. This is real. We can't go out in public. And we were en route to a birthday at a restaurant. And he's like, I'm not going to the restaurant. They just shut the schools down. And we were like, no, we're still going to the restaurant. So we celebrated Wayne's brother's birthday without him at a restaurant. Because his brother was really scared.
Okay, so here I have an April 2nd, 2020. I'm pulling up my stuff here because I have a bunch of shit in my computer here. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because some of it's a little personal, but I have a particularly frustrating day. It's getting a little more stressful, this whole modern day exercise. We had a beautiful spring day and I went out trying to get an attitude adjustment. I took a long walk and came back no better. Whole lot of thoughts running through my mind, no one to discuss it with. Feel like things are getting out of control. Either we die from a flu or we die from financial ruin and or starvation.
That's heavy, and that's,
isn't that? Oh my god!
No, I can match that. Yeah, holy moly! But that's yours in 2020. So I didn't start writing until February of 21.
Okay, here's one more sentence. Yes. Just sit tight and see what is going to happen next. Wait for the next scene in the scare movie. What is real? How do we know what is just normal people getting sick from cold or allergies or whatnot? Don't get too close and wash your hands.
Yeah.
Okay. April 2nd, 2020. Bizarre. Okay, go ahead. Yours.
That's fantastic. I love that. All right, so, man, that's, I'm so glad you wrote that earlier than I did, because at the time, I was just, I should have been writing things down. So, on Saturday, 5:15:21, 5:30 a.m., the thoughts and actions of the world are not my own. However, the things that are happening and being said are still of this world. I believe that in these times, it is unwise to not be educated. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at myself. Hold on. To be educated is also disturbing, which I think in itself is kind of funny. This is just me talking. To be educated is disturbing. Because I think that whole thing, like what John LeBond says, do you really want to tell the normies what's going on? Because then it's disturbing, you know? So it says, the shots started rolling out in December, January. They say it takes 5 to 6 months for the full effect of damage to start kicking in. And by fall, when everyone is exposed to an actual cold, 60 to 70% of people who've had two shots will be very ill or die. Oh, sorry. So I actually thought that 60 to 70% of the people who got the shot will die. I'm sorry, I'm laughing at my own self. Well, okay. I mean, like, all kinds of serious shit. Prion disease sounds like the thing that they will be attributing to zombie apocalypse. Not my words or thoughts. I am not afraid, so to speak, nor am I dreading anything. I just have to put this down to be rid of it as best as possible. So I didn't read this in advance. I'm sorry. But do you remember they kept out prion disease?
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
I know. Eyes are bleeding or something.
Well, listen to this. Okay. This is January 9th, 2021. 2021, like in the future, Jetsons territory. Such a crazy year 2020 has been. Horrible and wonderful all at once. So many weird things that went on, and yet, were they real or were they just in my mind? I've met so many new people I never thought I would meet. Socially, it's been a boom. Emotionally, it was devastating. So much happened so fast. It was whiplash. So many things have changed, and yet nothing major has changed. Inside, I have changed heaps. Outside looks very much the same. Interesting.
Wow. Well, I like that.
Here's another good one. I was scared to go online and chat on the Discord, and it has shown me a new side of myself that I guess unconsciously I knew was there. Always.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
And we're back. Let's see what else. Okay, that's January 9th. Okay, let's go see what else I got here. What other dates do I have? January 13th, 2021. Almost a year now. Not normal. That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. Okay.
It started with The Who stating that this could be characterized as a pandemic. Then the news media jumped on it and spread it far and wide. Now it's a pandemic, and yet it really is not. The models say it could be trouble, so the others take it and run with it. That's all. That's all I have. Well, that's great. That's good. I haven't gone back and looked at this. It's hilarious.
When characterized as a pandemic.
Right? Funny.
Wow. I don't know. What in the hell? I'm bringing it up again. It says, also there's things Morgellons in the mask. Do you remember those videos?
Oh, yeah.
Squiggly jigglies? Like, was that fucking real? Sorry.
Well, that was before 2020, though. I remember that came out
remember Morgellons like as an idea, but yeah, people were pulling weird crap out of their skin, but they were in the mask. So that's what I wrote down. Like, boy.
Oh my God, here it is again. There is much discussion of the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. I am usually the calm one and already feeling at my wit's end. And it's only day two. Okay, this was March 2020.
Yeah, it was.
We were out on Monday shopping and doing errands, but it was not a total lockdown. You will be arrested for being out except for essential shopping, quote unquote. So even though we have been voluntarily sheltering in place, I am in the third week of trying to stay positive amid fears of financial ruin and uncertainty. I'm so grateful I can still get out and go for my walk.
You're grateful for going for a walk. I'm so glad. Go for a walk.
Wow. Well, you know, I have to say the day that, you know, because Trump was in, you know, Trump was the president back then, remember? And remember, I specifically remember I was in the grocery store and the text came out that we're all supposed to go home and shelter in place, right? And I was in this store and there was like, they had shut the doors because they said we can only have so many people in the grocery store at one time. But there was people, the line was around the whole freaking store and there were people waiting to check out. And I had just gone in there for a couple of things. And then it was like, oh, all these people were like, they had like huge baskets full of stuff. And I'm like feeling like, oh my God, maybe I need to get some more things, you know, like I need to start filling my basket because who knows when I'm going to be able to come back to the store, right? It was crazy. But the irony of it is, okay, so that was like the very first day, right? And everybody was talking about, oh, Trump just said, we got to go home. We got to go shelter in place. We can't, you know, do anything, hang out together. And yet here we were all in this grocery store, no masks yet, because the masks hadn't come out yet.
Right,
and everybody
right.
was standing in line. We were all together up close and personal. It wasn't no 6 feet, you know. And we were all sitting there in the checkout line, you know, waiting to check out, right? And it's like, okay, so if there was this horrific, huge, infectious pandemic out there, we should have all been sick, right? The next day or, you know, as soon as we got home, we should have been like dead. It's just the whole thing was hilarious.
If there wasn't a TV, no one would know anything. But from what I remember, more people died in 2019 than in 2020.
Really? Well, okay, I can tell you, I did know of two people that member I told you earlier. I have a list. I've been keeping a list of all people that have died since 2020, but there were two people that I knew that died in 2019, late 2019, like around Thanksgiving time, you know, but, and those were, you know, they were not old people. They were like, I don't know, they were like in their 50s maybe. But they had died from like they were heavy smokers and they had, you know, what do you call it? Lung disease or whatever, something like that. And, but you know, these were not close people. These were just like old you know, high school people, people that I went to high school with, right?
Well, that's still too young. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. It was shocking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've kept a list ever since. And let me see if I could find that, because I know I put that in a page that I kept.
You know what I find is I keep saying over and over, my thoughts are not my own. And that's kind of strange to me. It's like I'm being fed the narrative and being fed all this information. I don't know. But my thoughts are not my own. I kept writing that down.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, you're being fed. I mean, I actually am going to do a little plug for my show. My Remember Who You Are show. I just did. A couple of days ago with someone.
Let's put this in there. Let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Well, I'm telling you, the plug is, yeah, I just did the show. It was called Wordplay. And the basis of it is how we are just fed from day one, you know, narratives and phrases. And, you know, it's just, our head is just filled, and it's called, you know, they call it a news feed. Like, we're being fed every day.
Yeah, fed
the news.
Yeah.
It's a you know, constant. It's a feed. It's a constant feed. And you know, we were talking about all the different phrases and words that are used that we talk about every day, you know, just things that we, you know, we don't even think about what they mean or how it's going into your brain and how you're, you know, putting it in there, like, and what, you know, you're, how you're feeling about it. Cause like, you know, we have, and I was listening earlier to Anna talk about how she's a substitute teacher in, you know, grade school, and how she was talking about that a lot of the narrative that they give the children, you know, and you remember when you were in school, we've been programmed forever about how we're supposed to grow up, how we're supposed to live our lives. You're going to go to college and you're going to get this job, and then you're going to get married, then you're going to have kids, and then you're going to, you know, I mean, on and on, you know, it's like you have a path, you have it all laid out for you, and you don't get to, like, you know, figure out maybe you want to do something different, or you want to, you know, have a different, you know, a different thing going on.
Yeah. You know what? That's so true. And it's, I feel very selfish for saying this out loud, but I never had that aspiration to be something. When I was young, I wanted to be a garbage man lady. And I would throw garbage bags around in my front yard just to build up my strength to be a garbage man lady. But
yes,
but I never wanted to be a scholar. I never wanted to go to college. Like, I always had this sort of underlying thing that, you know what? I just want to be, I actually wanted 10 kids. Until I babysat, like, I don't know, 100 kids. And then I learned that they all turn out to be assholes, basically.
Wow.
And I was like,
okay.
But I mean, that's, yeah, kids suck, you know, when they turn out to be teenagers and all that thing. And that's when I learned, like, whoa, I don't want a teenager. So,
but you know what, that's, and I, you know, speaking from someone who has had children it's different when they're your own. Yeah. I mean, when you've got somebody else's kid, you're like, yuck. And I totally can relate to that. But when they're your own kids, it's a different thing. But again, going back.
I understand that.
Yeah,
I do. I do understand that. But I also love them. I love them so much that if they're starting their first day of kindergarten or their first day of junior high, like I was really worried about them. And I thought, oh, man, I love these kids so much. And they're not my own. And I was like literally getting like upset and nervous and freaked out. Or when they were sick, I felt so sad and I couldn't handle it. And they weren't even my kids. And I thought, holy shit, you know, if I have this much love for kids that aren't my own, like, I think I would be a nervous wreck with my own kids. Like, I didn't think I could handle it. I actually thought it would be too much for me.
Yeah, going back to, you know, like what she was saying about how, again, we're indoctrinated to think that, just like you were saying, you want to be a garbage person. There's nothing wrong with that. But they kind of put it in your head that, no, you got to go to college and you got to get a managerial position.
I never
position.
Wanted to do that.
You got
to
be
a garbage person, man.
Right. Yeah. And they make you feel like, you know, being a garbage man or a janitor or whatever is not, I don't know, valuable or, you know, a contributing member. You're totally, you know, I mean, those jobs need to be done. And that's the thing that I get, you know, a little, you know, upset about, because they try to tell you, yeah, you gotta be, you know, this, you know, champion of corporate America. And, you know, being someone who's worked in corporate America, it's not all that. It's, you gotta be ready to do what they tell you to do, just like every other job. And not only that, you are supporting a corrupt, evil, you know, not for the good of the people industry. And I, you know, I know people are going to not think that's a good thing to say, because, you know, everybody tells you, you got to go make money, you got to get your benefits, you got to get your medical benefits and your 401ks and your, you know, your pensions and all that stuff, which is all money, you know, oriented. But yet at the same time, you're participating in corruption and disgusting stuff. And I, you know, again, people are gonna say, you know, that's not true, but, you know, I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of shitty stuff going on out there, and people don't realize it. They don't understand. And, you know, somewhere along the line, you're going to pay for that. You're going to get your comeuppance, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, man. Like, you actually, now I'm not judging or saying anything. I'm asking you, did you actually like put on like fancy clothes and try to fit in with like the corporate world? And, you know, when you say you were like hanging out with the Silicon Valley and stuff, I have never once in my life put on any clothes that meant anything to anyone or a restaurant. Or if you have a dress code, I'm not following it. Like,
that's what
I think is really cool. Because,
yeah, when I first got out of college, yes, you went to work with your freaking expensive suits and your high heels and your, you know, nylons, and, you know, you all made up and your hair had to be done, and you were, you know, you were the corporate whatever. I mean, there is definitely a corporate culture. You followed it. There was rules. There was lots of game playing. There was lots of ass kissing. There was lots of backstabbing. I mean, the whole thing. It was a thing. And I, you know, it was bad. Yeah. But then when I, and that was in, when I worked in aerospace, which was, I don't know, everybody said, oh, that's the best job you could ever get. It's like, you get all the benefits, you get paid great money. You were, you know, that was your, you were, you know, on the road for success. Right. And yet, I don't know, when I went to Silicon Valley, it was more laid back as far as dress code, but the backstabbing, the corruption, all that stuff was still there. It was still very cultural based. You had to follow the culture. You couldn't ask questions, and you better just, you know, put your head down and do what you're told. It's not any different, you know, whether you're wearing shorts or you're wearing, you know, your Chanel suits. It was more comfortable, obviously, for the dress code, but that was, you know, I thought, you know, I was going to go into this, you know, great, you know, culture that was going to be more relaxed and all that, but it was pretty much still the same. You still had all your psychological operations going on, and yeah, without going too far into it.
No, that's a trip. It seems to me like I've never once in my whole life woke up in the morning and got dressed for a day, or did my hair, or did my makeup. I've never done that. Not once.
After the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
So jazzy. And we're back.
I like Susie
and Beachy. Go ahead. Yeah, so you were not having any of that. And you know, that's good. I totally it's interesting because me in particular, I've always been an observer. I was always watching everything and taking notes and just keeping it in my back pocket for further reference. So I don't know. I think I finally got to the point where it was, well, whose life is this anyway? You know, it's like, this is my life and I'm choosing to give it over to, you know, something that I don't even know what the end game is. I don't know what these people, you know, are ultimately going to do with all this energy I'm giving them. And that's kind of where I got to the point, you know, where it's like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to support this, you know, agenda. Which
is
becoming more and more clear.
Like, you had kids, so I can't relate to that. I mean, man, I'm telling you, the better half of my life, I spent raising kids. Like, I was obsessed with babysitting. And my sister's kids and her friend's kids and my neighbor's kids, and I could show you photo albums of just me and kids and kids and kids and kids. That was my whole thing. I was like, I'm just going to have like all these kids. I just love kids. I still love kids.
And that's, And that's a good thing. That was a good contribution. You were doing something redeeming, life redeeming. I mean, I don't know what I was doing.
You had your own kids. That's what you
did. I was typing into a computer every day. I had lots of freaking meetings to sit in, and I had lots of people to support and take care of their applications and make sure they're running good. And, you know, I talked to people all over the world for their, you know.
Are you telling me, no, not judging. I know when people go, I'm not judging, but really they're judging, but I'm not saying that. So, you had to get a babysitter to do your fancy job.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. So that to me is also very amazing. Like there's no harm. Like there's nothing wrong with that. You know, and people go, oh, how could someone send their kids to school and blah, blah, blah.
Okay. I had a babysitter. I was lucky. I had a woman who was two houses down from me.
Yeah.
A daycare center. And she had maximum six children. And she took my baby and she was, you know, very loving. And, you know, it was like being in a home. And I swear to God, every day I would get sent, walk her down there before I went to work, and my daughter would just scream and holler, you know, and like I was, you know, it was guilt on top of guilt. And I would give her to the lady and she'd be crying and be, you know, totally upset. And then, like, the lady would tell me, oh, she stops crying as soon as you leave. You know, it's like a big, you know, it's a big show, whatever. But to me, it's like I'm driving to work, you know, feeling like shit, right? So that was kind of my impetus to, like, okay, what am I doing here? You know, I've got this, you know, child who's, I think the bigger thing, though, was that she told me that even though she stopped crying, that she would go take a nap for like 3 hours, you know, and, you know, it's like I would drop her off at like 9 o'clock and then I pick her up like maybe 4 o'clock. And so if she's sleeping for 3 hours, that's like most of the day for her. So I'm thinking, okay, that just did not sit well with me. So I was like, okay, I got to do something different here. So I started to work from home. I told my boss, you know, I can work from home. You know, let's try that, you know, for a couple of days a week at least, you know. And so I tried that. But, you know, it just wasn't going to work. So eventually I just, you know, ended up quitting. But yeah, I mean, it's like you go through so much guilt. It's like I had so much guilt going to work, even though I was, you know, I had this, you know, probably the best situation. Like I said, she was just, you know, like my neighbor. And anyway, that's kind of my you know, another reason why. And, you know, like I said, I'm sitting there, who am I, you know, what am I doing for these people here? Who are they and what are they, you know, why is all my energy going into those people when it should be going into my children? I you know, it just didn't calculate well for me. So but anyway, that's me. And I know a lot of people who have had, you know, they send their children to daycare and then they go to school. And, you know, that was the next thing, you know, and then you go to school. And, you know, just like Anna was saying, you know, that all the kids are just, they seem a little bit, distressed these days. And,
I was thinking about Anna's story today. How much of it did you hear? Because holy crap. So you probably didn't hear her first hour monologue, because for me, it was probably 5-6 in the morning. So for you, it'd be like one.
No, I heard it later in the day. I think she had to repeat it. And she was talking about how the kids are a little bit, they kind of get a little freaked out, you know, like there's a lot of kids who just lose it. And, it's understandable to me, because again, if you think about like what we were just talking about, how we went through, 2020, and we have been traumatized by that whole nonsense. And again, a lot of people, the parents have been traumatized as well as the children. So then your children soak up whatever you're feeling. So if you're feeling stressed, your kids are going to take it, right? And so it's emotional. Of course she said it was because of the vax. And yeah, I would attribute it to the vax, even if it's to the point where your parents were stressed, because here they had to take this, even though they may not have wanted to do it, but they felt like they had to so they could keep their job, or they were taking it and they were getting ill and they were, and they're still getting, I told you about this person that's
kindergarten shot fucked me up in 1979.
Yes. Yes. I would say there's a certain,
I remember it. My mom was like, whatever, but I remember it. Like my arm, I couldn't move my arm. Like it kind of got like a frozen shouldered sort of, I couldn't move my arm, man. And I was
right. If I think about when, the coercion that they gave you even back then, like when my daughter was born. And, now that, when the COVID came, it's like the coercion was just brutal. I mean, if you were kind of not even, if you were on the fence about it, it's like, well, you gotta make this decision really quick. Do you want your job or not? Do you want to keep working? And, even the people that didn't have to make that choice for their job, they were freaking out about restaurants and getting on planes and, oh, you can't travel. And I'm like, okay, why are you so concerned about that? I mean, that is like the worst or the least of your concerns. Why would you, place your own health above, well, I want to get on a plane to go to, wherever. So again, just the whole trauma around the whole thing, and the kids, I'm sure, were soaking all that up. And then, of course, she was talking about the way that they talk to them. They're having even more indoctrination as far as how they're supposed to take their tests and respond to all the pressures of, all the new stuff. I'm sure there's like a lot of new stuff, like the sex changes and all that stuff that is like not even supposed to be in a kid's life, to worry about, oh, do you want to be a boy or girl, or are you crazy. And the guilt. Guilt. Lots and lots of guilt.
Yeah. When it's funny to think back when we were children. And I feel very empathetic for Anna to be a teacher and just put yourself in the, boom, you're in a classroom. That's some serious shock. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't do that, even though I raised 100 children. I mean, I literally babysat.
Okay, tell me about that. How did you raise 100 children? That's a lot of kids. What was the circumstances of that?
I was the neighborhood babysitter. So I had my sister and her friends and the friends down the street and the friends down the street and my aunt's kids and my cousin's kids and blah, 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 blah. That was my job. Like, I literally, that was my job. From like 14 to about 25. It was my job. You pay me by the hour, you pay me by the day, depending on who you are. You know, that was my job. I raised kids. I played games with them. When I babysat, I didn't just watch kids. I played in the sprinkler. I played hide and seek. You know, like, I didn't and just sit back with my arms folded watching kids. Like, I was the kid with the kids, you know? I finger painted.
And that's a big job. You were the mom. You were the mom for all those kids. And again, that is, like I said, even that's the other thing, you know, that I always thought when, you know, they don't pay the babysitters, you know, what they're worth. I mean, that's like, they're the mom. The mom is the most important job, you know, that we can do. And the females, I'm sorry, I hate to say it, but the females are, it's their job. That's what they're best at. They're the best equipped.
Yeah. So, you know, well, my sister had kids and she had to go to, I mean, she was pumping breast milk and they had to go to work, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So I had to, you know, defrost her breast milk and feed the babies. Like, I mean, I'm not talking about just random babysitting. I'm talking about raising babies. Like, I took care of these little shits, and they're, no one tells you when a little baby boy wakes up in the morning, he has boarding wood. But it happens. No one warns you about that. But, you know, I'm just being silly now. But, I mean, it is true. But anyway.
But, well, yeah, that is the rites of passage. Those are the things that you don't want to miss those things when you're a mom. It's like, that was, to me, that was like the most important things. You didn't want to miss all those important milestones, all those moments, all those, you know, when they stood up and walked, when they, you know, said their first word, all that stuff. And people, moms, you know, miss out on so much. You miss out on so much if you're not there.
A lot of kids, they called me, "Hey, Sue, I mean, Mom."
Right? Exactly.
Yeah, because I spent way more time with the kids than their own moms. "Hey, Sue, I mean, Mom." That was my name. "Hey, Sue, I mean, Mom." But I also was Suey, because it's cute for little kids. My name is Susan, yeah. But Suey was my babysitter name. And Aunt Suey, my niece, her middle name is Sue, and my middle name is Elaine, And I have two nieces whose names are also Elaine. So we share some names around here. But yeah, now I don't talk to any of them because they all suck and no one cares about me. Even though I did, I spent my whole life, I dedicated my whole life to them, and now they just suck.
Well, like you said, we've been we've been told so many lies. We've been shoveled so much crap on us that, and we believed it. We're so trusting. We believe all these people who tell us all this crap. And we think they care about us and that they just want the best for us. And in reality, they just want to control us and want us to stay in our place. And that was the other thing, too. I was, you know, Anna was saying about, well, I don't know why they, you know, blah, 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 tell, you know, do all these things for schooling and why it has to be this way. And it's like, well, I know why, because they want to control you. They want you to, you know, be subservient and not realize what your power is, or, you know, that you can make your own decisions. You can use your own mind and you can enjoy a life of purpose rather than doing what they want you to do for them. And that's, and then the conversation, I also, it went into, you know, because, you know, and I hate to call him out on this, but, you know, Greg's always talking about the women are the bad guys in this equation. And it's like, no, the men are just as responsible for not stepping up to their job, which their job is to be the protectors and to be the, you know, to take care of the wives and the children and make sure that they have a safe place to have their children. And then you have a partnership and nobody's, you know, better, you know, than the other. It's a group or a, you know, a team effort. You don't just after the break. Awesome. Such a jazzy tune. I love it. Shout out to Velocet for setting this whole platform up for us to have these chats.
You know what? I would like to say that I did have some meager donations, and I would like to have remained anonymous. But Velocet was like, you know what? Just stop it. And I thought, you know what? I don't have a money-paying job. So if you're listening to this and you have a money-paying job, give $11, $33, 33 cents, whatever you have. Stop it. Just donate. Help Velocet. Just stop it.
Thank you, Cindy. That's my a nice public service announcement for the Truth Meets.
I made $150 for a dog thing, and I gave a little bit to fakeologist.com. I gave a little bit to here, and now I have a little bit left over. So just stop it. Okay.
Well, I'm sure Velocet is appreciative, and we are you know, trying to get this server a little bit more participation from chatters. So yeah, I'll make an appeal out to people. You should come and chat here. I think it's it's another, just another opportunity to yak.
Yeah, and but no, anyway. No one's going to read a book for an hour. So.
Well, we don't want to cast dispersions on other stations.
We think about this, Mrs. Purple Beach, is when Anna was talking about the kids and just, you know, seeing kids and it bringing back memories, right? Of being in elementary school. And you know what?
Yeah.
I felt I literally felt like elementary school, the time that I was alive during that time and the shit that I had to go through was so traumatic for me that I'm so over it because I had to already work through it. Like, fuck, I could tell some stories, and I kind of have on here. Like, you know, brothers trying to do things, and just elementary school was the worst time of my life. And I really feel okay with it now. So I think I could look at elementary school kids because I've been around kids for so long. She was like, holy fuck. It was really stirring shit up for her. And I was like, you know what? I've already been through it. I cried tissues going through what I had to deal with as a, you know, little person. And well, then I feel very over it.
It's very interesting about, and, you know, we talk about it because we obviously have realized it, but I just wonder how many people out there also think about it, but they just don't say anything because they are, you know, either afraid or they just think it's not important, or like I said before, where, you know, they just think they're not, like they have no right, or they're just not, you know, they're just another, you know, speck on this earth, when they really, you know, like you said, it really empowers you to realize that, yeah, you're not just a, you know, a puppet that people just, you know, can tell you what to do and you have to do it. You know, it's, again, back to that conversation about the men versus women, and, you know, it's just another divider that they have, you know, put in our path so that we don't look up and realize who's actually perpetrating this on us, because they want us to put our energy towards them, for them to be the rulers, and that we don't exercise our own power. And, you know, that's where we should be putting we shouldn't be arguing with each other. We should gather together to fight that off, to say, hey, you know, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to do something else. We're going to do things that are more for our benefit rather than for somebody else's benefit. And that is like huge across the board on every level. You know, when you think about education, when you think about the law, when you think about money, when you think about religion, I mean, all of it is inverted to where we're the underdog, when we are, you know, we are the people born on this earth of God, and God gave us everything to live on this earth. And those, whoever they are, the theys of the world, the people we think are in power, have usurped our God-given inheritance. And
yeah. Amen, sister. And No, I'm not joking. When I'm just kind of scrolling because I just pulled this out, you know, 10 minutes ago or not 10 minutes ago, but 10 minutes before we were talking, and I was just looking through my notebook stuff. But and Ab actually said it. But we haven't heard so much stuff about religion or the Bible or whatever you want to call it. In the beginning of COVID, people were like spiritual war and people kept being like, you know, this and that and this and that. And there's a whole lot of Jesus talk. When you're in some sort of like peril, you start thinking, man, this is spiritual war. And if you're thinking spiritual, I don't even really know. Like, I'm not saying Bible this or Bible that. But it is true that people start turning toward within. You know, like, what is really going on within my soul? Or what does this world really mean? And like, all that good, beautiful stuff. You know, this isn't like what, whatever in the hell we just went through.
Yep. We are totally.
The only way to get through it is to internally be okay with it, to not go insane. Like, that's it.
Well, it's a total war. Yes, we are totally at war, but not the kind of war that we've been. Again, they tell us wars are, you know, bombs and people, explosions and people dying. But no, the war is for our souls, for our, you know, awakening, for our spiritual awakening to where we realize, like I said, it's for all the marbles. It is for absolutely for all the marbles. When you think about it.
Do you remember, did you watch that movie Red Dawn when it came out? Like when it was new, did you watch that movie? Like as a kid?
I did not. I'm
because that movie screwed me up as a kid. It was like Patrick Swayze and man, that movie was star-studded. But that movie really screwed me up. Like, I thought that like the Russians were going to come in and take over and put our parents in concentration camps. That movie, man, that movie screwed me up. So did Piranha and Amityville Horror. But, I mean, that's just beside the point. But they were made real.
Fear, any kind of fear that they can put into you because, you know, when people are in fear, they don't make good choices. They make rash choices. They make, and just like you saw in COVID, you know, everybody was in fear. So what did they do? They did all the, you know, they got compliant. They did what they were told. They took their jabs. And, you know, we know that wasn't probably the right decision because, you know, that just gave them more impetus to think that they could get more power over us. And again, if you know who you are, again, back to my show, plug for my show, to remember who you are, you will be better able to make those choices when, you know, this stuff comes around again to you know, take away our sovereignty. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot I can say, but I think I'm going to.
You know what? I'm going to re-listen. Like, did you just do a Serena one? Because I didn't listen to that one.
Well, yeah, we did that one was on words. And I do have a sequel to that one because I've been working on a lot of shows because I kind of took a little hiatus. During the summer and a lot of stuff going on, but I've been working on a lot of shows that I really need to get out because I always wonder, well, who's listening? But I want to believe that somebody out there needs to hear this. So I have to do it. It's kind of like a, I don't know, it's something I have to do. And if only one person gets something from it, you know, that's what I got to go by.
I don't know if that's me, but do I have to join a forum to comment on your show?
Well,
or maybe I'll send you a message or be more.
I would love the feedback. I totally, I mean, Velocet had originally supposed to set up a forum to have notes or, you know, feedback. And I don't know what happened to that, but you can, because you're on this Discord server, you can send me notes, you can send me feedback, you can send me comments, ideas, whatever. And anybody else out there who's on the Discord can do the same. You can direct message me or, you know, whatever. But
you're so lovely and I'm so lame that I just listen to something and I go, well, that was good. I will do my best to be more interactive.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's appreciated, but it's, you know, like I said,
everybody out there, if you have money to send to Velocet, at least post a comment, quit being an asshole, quit being lazy. That's me.
And Velocet appreciates that. He said, thank you for the shout out in the PSA. So, you know, like I said, we should also mention we have the Coast to Coast show that Veralicious and I do, and we kind of taking a little bit of hiatus on that too because she's gotten a little busy. But I welcome
D-Train. Yeah. That's the story.
But like I said, her and, well, you and anybody else who is interested in coming on and chatting with me on my show, I'm greatly appreciate it. Just send me a direct message and I will do it.
My God. So, I'm going to get an orange highlighter out in my notebook. You know what? It took me a lot of time to actually find this notebook. So I've been rearranging my pantry and all these shelvings and going through boxes. And man, I'm going nuts. I'm making a huge mess. And I was like, where's my old COVID notebooks? I couldn't find them. And I just found them yesterday. So I haven't had time to really embarrass myself with an orange highlighter or exclude myself.
Well,
I'm like, there's parts that I'm like, oh, I'm not going to say that out loud. But that's me. That's what I do. I say things I shouldn't say out loud. That's me. That's what I do. So maybe I'll say it's stuff.
Whatever you want to share, I think we should start a little series called the COVID Notes or something like that.
You know,
and we'll do it.
I like it because I actually want to go back through what you just read, and I want to think about that again, because that was good.
Yeah, I think it's therapeutic. We need to get that out and release it and let it go.
I don't feel post-traumatic, but I feel like what the hell? Just happened. Like, that's what I want to call the name of my show. What the hell just happened? We're all walking around like nothing just happened.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's true. It's bizarre when you think about it. Like, okay, that was 5 years ago. Oh my God.
Yeah. What the hell just happened?
Well, 5+. I mean, well, you know, you, like you said, 2021, 2022. Yeah. I mean, I remember I had to get on a plane in 2021 and I was very tripped out because I had to freaking wear a mask to get on that damn plane. And it was only an hour flight, but man, that was traumatic. I was like, you know,
yeah,
it was horrible. But, you know, we were in California, and I mean, I'm in California, and we were flying just to Arizona, which was like, you know, it's only an hour flight. And once we got to Arizona, because we were full on 2021, we were still, everybody was still wearing masks out here. It was disgusting, you know, and I personally did not wear a mask out on the street, you know, which is like, okay, I'm outside. Why do I need to wear a mask? Right. But you had to wear them when you went into the grocery store, you know, or, you know, any enclosed building. And of course, I tried to avoid that as much as possible, but you know, if you go to the store, you have to. But anyway, so like I said, I had to get on a plane flight, and it was horrible because as soon as you got in the airport, they're like, you had to wear your mask and you had to take it off unless you're eating something. And so, you know, of course, I grabbed myself a lot of stuff to eat while I was on the plane, and you know, as much time as I could to take it off. But when we got to Arizona, they were not, you know, they were not as militant as we were in California. So it was nice. It was freeing to be able to, you know, get away from that for a few days, and then, you know, you come back and you're back in it. So again, it was still full on in 20, that was in December of 2021, I think, that we had gone on that trip. So, yeah.
You went on a trip, all right. What a freaking trip.
Exactly. It was the whole thing was a trip, but yeah. Anyway. So, like I said, this was a great chat. I need to get going now, but we should do this again. And I want to hear more about your journals, and I'll go look through mine and see how much, because I have tons of stuff. I just used to write every day, but it's not a journal like in my, you know, I didn't write it down with a pen. I put it in my computer, so I have to go look through all my files, and
let's get through this.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
But yeah, I think we can do this as a series and get others to contribute as well. I think a lot of people have things to say. So yeah, I'm inviting everyone out there.
Yeah. So when I have been listening back, I have heard you say that it was very important to have someone here in fakeellis.com. Even though we're on Truth Meets right now, but you know what I mean? It was really important for you to have an outlet, and it would have done me a great deal to have been able to talk to someone. So I get it. I'm glad you had someone, but you were an amazing contributor, and I'm going to be clipping some of that, hopefully.
Oh my God.
The winter is coming, so it gets dark at 5.
You're going to be clipping.
No, but well, I'm not going to paint you in a bad light. There's no way to. You're always just a beautiful person. And
well, thank you.
So on that note,
appreciate that.
Yeah. So,
all right.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Well,
you're
thank you.
Purple.
Yes, I'm a alternate realities here, but anyway, thank you so much. That was a great little chat we had, and I look forward to doing it again. So
all right,
thanks. Good everybody night. If you're out there listening, good night.
Good night.